All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
What show are you listening to? You don't know. It could be Fantasy NBA Today. It could be the Box Score Breakdown. It's crossover day, everybody. I'm Dan Vesperus, and who the hell's the other guy?
This is Kurt Beach, a.k.a. Cap.
What's up, man?
Just excited to be here, Dan.
Crossover episode. Does that get the juices going for you?
Yes, sir. I think we're probably throwing a few people off guard right now.
They are, yeah. They tuned in. Well, particularly the Box Score folks are like, wait a minute, is this, what the hell am I listening to right now? Kurt, you're normally with Josh, but of course we got Thanksgiving stuff, so Mr. Millman is unavailable for this Wednesday evening show, and this is normally when I'd be doing a lot of my Fantasy NBA Today recording anyway, so we thought, hell, this will be fun, we'll do a little crossover. Folks listening to the Box Score Breakdown, you'll get to hear a little bit from the Fantasy NBA Today side, and anybody listening to my show, this is a great opportunity for you to get a feel for what's going on our nightly show, Box Score Breakdown, which, Kurt, I know you guys do an amazing job. You get this out right as the games are ending. It's up before people go to sleep at night, so it's really the first opportunity for folks to get at the information, which that's what it's all about. You know, if you're waiting until the following morning, Listen, I'll take a shot at my own show. If you're waiting until the following morning, you've often waited too long. So you guys are doing great stuff. I love what you guys are putting together.
Thanks, man. We do our best. We have a lot of fun. I used to listen to Adrian and Neil pretty much every night last year. And when you want to make a move, you just want somebody to agree with you or disagree with you. Maybe agree with you and give you that warm, fuzzy feeling before you're making that add or that drop. And so I might know who I want to pick up on a given night. And then hearing somebody else kind of confirm that just gives you those warm fuzzies. So that's what got me tuned in. And I've been tuning into your show every morning as well.
Well, let's give people some warm and fuzzies. Why don't we dive right into this stuff? Listen, I'll throw out at the top of this thing, the recruiting push at HoopBall continues. If you guys want to get involved as a contributor over here, hit us up at Dan Bespris. You can send an email to teamhoopball@hoop-ball.com. You can hit up the cap. You can hit up the cap at C-A-P-T, so capped. How do you actually pronounce Canegas?
Canegas.
Canegas. C-A-P-T-C-A-I-N-E-G-H-I-S. You didn't make it easy on us.
I didn't. It's not one that's helping me on the Twitter side get any followers.
Yeah, I'm going to probably, we'll tag you. If you're looking for Cap, just look for this tweet and we'll tag him in it. So, yeah, let us know. Let us know if you guys want to get involved over here. We're obviously building out a sales team, which is the new big push. Always looking for podcast and writing contributors. So come on, hit us up and join the madness. Join the chaos here at HoopBall. Cap, get us started here. What's the first game on the docket?
All right, good, sir. So with it being a massive slate today, kind of a pre-Thanksgiving feast, we have 14 games for you guys today. So we're going to try to be a little judicious here on who we spend time on, kind of trim the fat a little bit.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yes, sir. So let's jump into the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics. Celtics won this one 121-110. Torian Prince has been down a little bit. He had 12 points, 4 threes, not much else. He was one of my favorite end-of-draft kind of picks this year, and he's losing a little bit of steam, unfortunately. He's moving kind of toward the cut line for me. Jared Allen was really good with 17 and 14. Spencer Dinwiddie had 16 and 11, but missed a bunch of shots. He was 5 and 19 from the field. Joe Harris had a solid game with 21, 5 and 2. He nailed 5 triples and had 2 blocks. Solid game for Joe Harris. Garrett Temple, probably one of the guys on this team that you're looking at as a potential pickup. He had 22, 2, and 3 with 1 steal, 1 block, and 6 threes, and solid shooting. I don't think he's really a standard league pickup, though. He's probably more of a 14-16 teamer, and he could disappear completely when Kyrie comes back. Off the bench, DeAndre Jordan did not play today. And honestly, Dan, I don't see a whole lot else on the bench worth mentioning or that moves the needle in terms of potential pickups.
Yeah, nobody on the bench nobody off the bench played more than 19 and a half minutes. It's tough to get much done if you don't crack the 20-minute plateau. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. The only thing I've been watching on the Brooklyn side is kind of, you know, what shakes out with no Kyrie Irving. And I haven't been willing to take the plunge on almost any of these guys. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie, who had a bad shooting game, he's obviously been doing more than enough. I'm curious what goes on with Jared Allen when DeAndre Jordan comes back, because he's been getting a lot of run. Horrible free throw shooting game in this one for Allen. I think he went, 5 for 12?
Ooh, yeah, I missed that. 5 of 12, that really hurts you there.
But overall, he's been really good with no DJ in there. I like Joe Harris when he's getting these opportunities. They seem like they actually play better as a team in some of these games, no Kyrie. Problem is, you know, they had a really easy schedule. They had like 4 games in a row against terrible teams, and now they ran into a pretty good one. And I'll just throw a few Boston numbers out there. Kemba Walker, who, I mean, I can't believe how fast he came back from that scary neck injury, had 39, 6 and 4, 6 threes and a steal. Jaylen Brown double-doubled. Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, obviously that's the stuff. But the name that I thought would be fun to kind of pause on for a minute is Daniel Theis, who we've been talking about at HoopBall as a guy that sort of grabbed the starting job by the reins, and he looked great, super efficient, 14-8 with 2 blocks, 6 out of 10 shooting. He made both of his free throws. He looks like he could have a little bit of upside beyond that sort of late, barely hanging on kind of center. Like, you know, Cody Zeller is a guy that comes to mind as the center that just hangs on to value. Theis feels to me like he could creep into that top 90 range, and that's very much a usable guy in a 12-team league.
Absolutely, sir. What is your take on Kanter? I've seen some questions on him, and he got drafted. For anyone who missed out on a big man, lots of people were taking him as a guy that could get you 14-8, 12-10 in those later rounds. And I didn't own him anywhere, but I would have moved on by now. I think I don't even know if he's a 14 teamer. Would you own him in a 14 teamer? Or
no.
What kind of format or league size do you need to be in to be looking at Kanter?
16 or greater, I think. And even that's a stretch. You might even be looking at 18 if you're getting to that point. He's not going to see any minutes. They like Tice. They like his defense. The Kanter thing is presumably for a little bit of extra scoring punch, but they're getting that from Kemba. They're getting it from Brown. They're getting it from Tatum. They don't have the lack of scoring that maybe there was maybe a little bit of a fear of guys finishing around the bucket. Their smaller guys are taking it to the rim instead. So I don't see Kanter playing more than about 14, 15 minutes, and that's not enough. So for me, he's a drop in almost every normal fantasy league at this point. I've moved on.
I agree, good sir.
All right, jump along to the next one, Utah-Indiana. I don't know that we're going to have to talk a ton about this ball game. I'll do the Utah side. You can give us some Indiana numbers. But both of these teams are clubs where you're basically focused on the starters. I mean, obviously, in general, there's exceptions here and there. Bojan Bogdanović had the big one for Utah with 30 in a blowout loss, which is great because most of the guys ended up not putting good numbers together. Donovan Mitchell had 26 and nothing else. Rudy Gobert, 14-13, but didn't get much going on the defensive side. I've been getting yelled at for being low on Donovan Mitchell, but in 9-cat, he's outside the top 30 now, so he's behind his ADP again, so I don't know why I'm getting yelled at about this. Joe Ingles did have 12 and 4 steals. That's like 2 out of 3 games that have been okay for him, but he's still, for me, on the outside looking in. I'd need to see him do it 3, 4, 5 times in a row. And otherwise with Utah, you basically know what you're going to get, especially if they're not going to get waxed by a team on a night. What's your feelings on Joe Ingles? I think he's the only guy really worth talking about on the Utah side.
Well, sir, my feelings on him are a little bit of anger because I'm going up against him in a few head-to-head leagues and he had 4 steals tonight, which is great. Decent overall line, and he had a good line the other night too, so I feel like everyone waits to have their best games until they're playing me.
Of
course. Sure you've felt that before too.
Oh yeah, it wouldn't be a fantasy season if you didn't, you know, like I'm always gonna play the team with James Harden when he has a 4 or 5 game week. I'm never gonna get to play the Harden team when he's got this week going on. Somebody is catching a sweet break there and it's not me. See, I mean, that's half of the joy, right? You finish the week and you're just like, well, that was a kick in the teeth. Let's go play somebody else. It always evens out, you know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I guess my take on him is I have a very itchy trigger finger. So the minute he went out there and had 4 or 5 kind of duds in a row, I probably would have cut him. After this line, maybe you could grab him. But I don't think he's necessarily must-own in 12-teamers, and he may not even be must-own in 14-teamers. But, you know, after 2 games in a row of decent production, you can pick him up and see where it goes. We know what he's capable of if he gets decent minutes.
Yeah, I'm probably waiting a little bit. It sounds like you, in most situations, you probably are too. Am I reading that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What do we got on the Indy side? This is, you know, a whole lot of nothing, basically, right?
Yeah, mainly the starters. I was a little bummed to see Turner go for only 6 shots when the other starters are going for 15.
A little bit of foul trouble for him, by the way. I'll flip that in there. He picked up 2 fouls early in this ball game, and it didn't seem like he ever really got into a rhythm, but I'm totally with you. That low usage is a bummer.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you grab Turner, really you want the blocks, and he still got you 3 blocks tonight and 2 threes, so 5 cash counters. You can nitpick, but you can't complain about that too much.
No.
Off the bench, let's see. I'm really reaching,
I know.
Here.
Yeah, so, it's okay. You don't have to. I'll officially let you off the hook. I have TJ McConnell in 30 deep, by the way, and he's been actually a pretty good 30 deep kind of guy. But you know, otherwise, Indy's one of those teams where it's just the 5 starters and nothing else.
Yes, sir. And yeah. Aaron Holiday, I think if you had him in a standard league, you can probably move on.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that one as well. Let's go to the next one, because there's nothing in that game. That's nothing. Sacramento, Philadelphia. Kings fell behind by a bunch. They sort of carved this thing down to a reasonable number, but then Philly ended up hanging on anyway. The interesting notes, if we're going to dodge a few things. I'll take Sacramento, I guess. Rashawn Holmes had a rare slow game, but that'll happen when you deal with Joel Embiid. Nemanja Bjelica likewise had issues with Al Horford in the front court. Buddy Hield couldn't shoot. Kings just generally couldn't get the offense going. Bogdan Bogdanovic had 17 with four steals. Harrison Barnes, 14, 9, and 6. And Dwayne Dedmon actually played pretty well. Also had a bunch of fouls, but sort of doesn't matter when you're coming off the bench. Corey Joseph was a guy that I had pointed out as a sort of punt points streamer, and he fulfilled that with 3 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block, but he scored 2 points and took 5 shots in 28 minutes. Kings side was pretty uninteresting overall, I thought. Corey Joseph is the only guy that I've been sort of semi-watching if you're in a league or a format where you don't need scoring. But he, to me, is more like a 14 or 16 team league guy as well. What do you have on the Kings? And then you can take us right into Philadelphia after that.
The only thing I got is Nemanja Bjelica. We've seen him slowing down a little bit, and tonight he did have 5 fouls, but maybe it's because he knows that Bagley's close to a return. I don't know if I would preemptively drop him because he's given you a pretty well-rounded value on the season. But just know that Bagley's return is near. On the 76ers side, Joel Embiid bounced back from his game with a bunch of goose eggs and put up 33-16 with an assist, 2 blocks, 12-14 from the free throw line, 10 of 19 from the field with a 3. So great bounce back game from Embiid. The other starters were pretty good. Josh Richardson was a person to note here. He left the game early. Can't remember exactly what the injury was.
Yeah, they call it a hamstring tightness. So I don't know if that's going to turn into anything, but it did. It did open the door for Matisse Thybulle, though.
Yes, sir. And I know you're a strong believer that Thybulle can average 4 defensive stats a game this year. he's proven you right tonight.
Sarcasm is thick there. As I've said many times, an injury to Josh Richardson is the only thing that could free him up to do enough. And obviously he shot 5 for 5 and 2 for 2 at the free throw line. So that type of thing wouldn't hold. But if they give him 20 something minutes, then he's definitely worth throwing into a lineup. I guess the question is, do you preemptively pick him up and hope that Josh Richardson misses time? Them calling this just tightness makes me think that this is maybe 1 or 2 games max for Jay Rich. So I'm probably not dabbling unless I have somebody totally useless on my team. I guess my question for you, Kurt, is at what point do you make this move here? Like, do you wait on the timeline? Do you make the move preemptively? Because if Thybulle does get 2 or 3 starts, that could be interesting. Problem is, we've also seen them go to Furkan Korkmaz when Richardson missed time already this year. So it's not a guaranteed thing regardless.
Right, and that's a really good point, Dan. And today, Thybulle and Korkmaz both had an even 21 minutes, so it's hard to say. If you have somebody who you're just itching to cut at the end of your bench, maybe a preemptive ad, but like you said, with the just tightness, who knows, maybe he's back in the next game. So I would take a wait-and-see approach here for standard leagues and probably 14 teamers as well.
Yeah, I agree. Wait-and-see that works for me. Give me what you got on the Detroit Pistons.
Yes, sir. So we had Blake Griffin go for 26-6 with 4 threes. Andre Drummond, 14-21 with 7 assists. The 7 assists is nice to see. Usually he doesn't get those kind of assist numbers when Griffin's playing. Langston Galloway is starting these days. Not much beyond a 3-point streamer there. Luke Kennard, I hope you sold high because he's probably going to be coming down tonight. 16 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 threes. Not a whole lot else. I will admit, I thought he was basically going to be a 3-point specialist, but he's been chipping in some stats across the board this season. But I wouldn't expect his early season production to continue now with Blake Griffin back absorbing so much usage.
Yeah.
Bruce Brown, not a whole lot to see there. Derrick Rose had a bounce back game. He went for 13-8, and he had a 3. Other than that, we're seeing this kind of a trend. There's not a whole lot else off the Detroit Pistons bench that you're really too interested. Christian Wood you know, 10 minutes. He's a per minute production kind of monster guy, but him and same with Chris Boucher, the minutes just aren't there. So I'm not really interested at this point. What's your take, Dan?
Yeah, the Pistons are a little ugly. That's my take on the Pistons. Derrick Rose is a good fit off the bench. He's always going to get a whole bunch of looks, and you know he'll have games where he makes 60% of his shots because they're mostly stuff going to the rim. He'll have some where he only makes 40%, but he's going to have a decent field goal percent this year, which I think is okay. You said Luke Kennard, sell high guy. Totally on board with you on that one. And then Griffin and Drummond, and I'm not venturing beyond that, even with Galloway playing 29 minutes. It's just not, there's not enough there. It was nice to see the Hornets get a couple of slightly more efficient ball games. Devontae Graham in particular, 16 points, 15 assists at 7 rebounds, and he did it without missing a ton of shots and without turning it over too many times. So that was a really nice sign. Miles Bridges has been playing better lately. The Bismack Biyombo experience is live with Cody Zeller out. I'm not bothering to stream because as soon as you do, he's going to basically soil himself. Nick Batum actually took 7 shots in this game. He really didn't want to, but they just left him, and so he did it. And PJ Washington, despite having a good ball game, only played 21 minutes. I know that this is going to be a weird take after a good game, but PJ Washington is a drop for me. He's not seeing the minutes anymore. He's losing playing time to my old buddy, old man Marv. And Terry Rozier is a glorified shooting guard that they're paying a ton of money to. I'm not sure that the Hornets have a single player inside the top 100 at the end of the year. Devontae Graham has a shot at it. Rozier has a shot at it. And Miles Bridges has a shot at it. And right now, Rozier is number 98, and that's the only... it's the only player on the Hornets inside the top 100. They could end up being one of the worst fantasy teams on the market.
It's really surprising, too, because I looked up his stats today, and Devontae Graham, you know when you miss out on something, you just want it that much more? I only grabbed him in one league out of 7 or 8, however many I'm in, and I just feel like he's lighting the world on fire. But then I look him up, and he's number 105 prior to tonight on a per-game average, which surprised me. I thought he'd be way higher, and 73 on totals, but it looked like a lot of that is the 40% from the field, mm-hmm. high turnovers, and not a whole lot in the defensive side. So I don't think he's as good fantasy-wise as people think, so you might be able to turn a profit there. And the only thing, Dan, that I'll be slightly contrarian on, just for a little bit longer, is PJ Washington, because I know his minutes have been down in the last 4 or 5 games, and he's been scoring in single digits for 5 or 6 games prior to tonight, but he'd gotten a lot of fouls. I think it was today he had 4, then it went 3, 2, 3, 5, 5, and it seemed like as soon as he got 2, they yanked him for quite a while. So just with as bad as the Hornets team is, I'm slightly interested in holding on a little bit longer, but like you said, he's very, very near the cut line for me.
Yeah, he's pushing it. He's pushing it. The whole team is pushing it, frankly. Toronto blew out the Knicks, so, you know, fun times if you had a Knick. The good news, I guess, on the New York side is Mitchell Robinson played 31 minutes. That is an enormous deal. And Julius Randle didn't completely kill you with his percentages for one game. Otherwise, they were horrendous. And I struggle to find any other positives for the New York Knicks. I mean, that's just they're a terrible team and a terrible franchise these days. But okay, leaping right through the box score. Actually, Cap, give us the Toronto side, and then I have a couple of points of discussion on this game.
All right, sir. So Pascal Siakam did his thing. He was good. Fred VanVleet, kind of a down night, but he was all right. Norm Powell, he starts and sometimes gets minutes, only 21 tonight. Not really a standard league dude. Mark Gasol, he had 3 blocks and 2 steals and a 3, so 6 cash counters is nice, but only 3 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. I go back and forth on him. I think he's a cut in standard leagues if there's a hot free agent out there, but I understand if you want to hold on. OG Anunoby had a nice game with 13 and 12, 2 steals, 3 threes. Chris Boucher actually got 25 minutes off the bench today. Yeah. So, like we just
blowout so
time. Just mentioned.
Garbage time. Gotta love a little garbage time.
Yep. So don't read a whole lot into that. And Ibaka's due back, I'm pretty sure, any day now. Terrence Davis, he's had a few good games, and I didn't even know who this guy was prior to the season starting, but he had 15 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, 3 threes. I think it's going to be pretty hard for him to hold standard league value, but 14, 16 teamers, you can maybe look at him. Rondae Hollis Jefferson had 12 and 4 with an assist. He's borderline standard league dude. Other than that, Dan, kind of the same old story here in Toronto.
Yeah, I'm not into the Toronto backups. Like you said, Serge due back pretty soon. Kyle Lowry is not supposed to be out all that much longer. I'm probably just sticking with the sort of usual fare on that side. I'm a proponent here of buying low on Mitchell Robinson. The fact that he played 30 minutes in this game, and I know there was a lot of garbage time, is just sort of like one quick reason. Hey, if this dude can figure out a way to stay on the floor, they'll give him a few extra minutes. The time is close, man. I don't know that there's a ton of time left to go get him if you want him, and you might not have to pay as much right now. Are you a Mitchell Robinson buy low guy, or are you just the Knicks are so... Because I understand the philosophy that the Knicks are just so terrible that they're not worth exploring, but he's like, what is he? He's ranked in the 70s or 80s right now. I'd definitely go pay that type of price or even a little bit more for him, because I think good things are coming for Mitch Rob at some point this year.
Dan, I, like you, am all aboard the Mitch Rob train.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Ever since, I think it was about a year ago, he had that game where he did almost nothing but block 9 shots. I picked him up everywhere. I love this guy. I'm a sucker for the defensive stats. I love those steals and blocks. So I did not want to pay the draft day price for him. You know, you saw some places he was going early second round, some places third round. And I love him, but you're missing out on so many other stats if you took him there. So mm-hmm. I'd love to have him, but I would much rather have, at that range, maybe somebody like a Miles Turner. So I didn't end up with him anywhere, and I hate it, but I knew with the foul trouble and New York's just being a disaster that there was a good chance that he'd put up a couple of bum games and I could buy low on him. I wasn't expecting it to go on for a month, but yeah, I'm trying to buy on him everywhere I can. The 31 minutes is amazing. I wish he'd do a little bit more with it. But again, it's 31 minutes. I'm pretty sure that's a season high. It may even be a career high. I'm not, fact check me on that one. But yeah, great guy. And you probably won't pull this off in most leagues, but I had a league where I sold Aaron Baines when he was at the heat of his production and Ooh. Got Mitchell Robinson.
Wow. So, oh, well done. Well
I
done.
Absolute steal, I thought, and you probably won't see that happen in a lot of leagues, but it just kind of shows you where people are at with him. Unfortunately, I haven't seen it in any of my leagues, but I've heard, you know, on the forums and on Twitter that some people are saying, should I pick him up? Should you pick him up? He could lead the league in blocks. Yes, you should pick him up.
Unbelievable. Truly so unbelievable.
That's my soapbox on Mitch Rob. Yeah, I
like
love
it. I'm with you on that box. We're on that soapbox together. Miami-Houston, this game was actually a pretty good separation. The Heat made it a better ballgame late. Houston side, my guys are back, man. Daniel House and PJ Tucker together again, and at last I can be happy. Tucker, 7-7 with a 3 and 4 steals on 3 out of 6 shooting, his typical 9-cat fantastic dominance. Daniel House actually had a big scoring game. He put up 23 in this one. 4 boards, 2 assists, 4 threes, 2 steals. Oh, I love these guys, man. I really do. No Clint Capella in this ballgame. He'll be back most likely pretty darn soon. And Cap, over on the Miami side, no Jimmy Butler, so usage to go around in this one. How did that turn out?
It turned out all right. I would expect Kendrick Nunn would have had more shots. Without Jimmy, he was getting about 17, 18 shots early in the season. Only 11 tonight for 9 points. 4 assists, 1 steal, 3 threes. I think real life, he's a very, very good player, but fantasy-wise, at least right now, I think he's a little overhyped. I'd like to have him, but I think he's a little overhyped. Dragic got the start. He had 13, 2-1 with a steal and 2 threes. Bam! He played 40 minutes. 17-11 with 8 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He did have 4 turnovers, but he did shoot 70% from the line on a nice 7 of 10, so that's actually a nice improvement from where he's been on the season so far. Duncan Robinson, he's really just a three-point guy, and if you can guess the night he's going to go off, power to you, you should probably play the lottery. Myers Leonard started, played 15 minutes, had 4 fouls, didn't do a whole lot there.
No,
Tyler Hero off the bench, an oddly well-rounded line from Tyler Hero, in my opinion. He's normally just your threes kind of guy, but he had 22 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 3 threes on decent shooting. He did chip in 5 turnovers, but decent line from Hero. He played 36 minutes. You're not going to see this every night when Jimmy's out there. Let's see. We also have Justice Winslow returning tonight for 10-7 with 3 assists, 1 steal. I'm not a big fan of his fantasy game.
No.
He just hurts you in too many areas. The turnovers, the percentages, and even today without Jimmy, he wasn't fantastic. He's not going to be that guy first game of the year that went for whatever it was, 27-7-7.
No, he's a guy that'll tease you. Every once in a while I'll have a game where I'll shoot the ball well, but in general his percentages are atrocious. I'm very much on the outs with Winslow, and he's a guy that people are just like, oh yeah, you got to pick him up. He's number 247 on the year right now. 247, because he's creaming you in field goal percent, free throw percent, and turnovers. He's just not, it's just not the thing. Kelly Olynyk's been really good lately. Can we pause on him for a minute?
I was going to save him for you.
Yeah. You know, he's a guy that I've wanted to see succeed for a long time, fantasy-wise. He's always been a guy that's just right on the cusp of being fantasy-relevant, and then every time it seems like it's go time, James Johnson's fat butt waltzes back onto the court and ruins it for Kelly. But James Johnson's nowhere to be found this time around. Olynyk's played a solid 24 minutes to 32 minutes in most of his games lately. He's been a top 75 guy over the last 2.5 weeks. I actually think he might even be better than that. To me, he's a must-own, must-start guy until this run cools off, or maybe it lasts long-term. Maybe, you know, the shooting percentage lately at 56% is probably not going to hold, but the other stuff feels somewhat sustainable if the minutes stay there. So I'd throw him on pretty much any team where you can get him at this point.
Yeah, that's great, Dan. And it's funny because he wasn't really on my radar a whole lot just because, like you said, I like his diversified game, but he's so up and down in the past that you want to like him, but then he doesn't get the minutes or he does something to hurt himself. But the other day you were saying, you know, he went for that 15-16 game, and you're like, you got to pick this guy up. And I was like, I don't know, Dan. And I looked at his game log, and I'm like, okay, yeah. He's doing all right. And like you said, the last 14 days, he's actually, so prior to tonight's game being factored in, he's number 62 on 9 cap per game average. So absolutely a standard league guy right now.
Clippers-Grizz. Clippers, again, steal one. They've played a lot of games where they've sort of half-assed it until late, and they've gotten away with it. I don't know what the Grizzlies were doing in this ball game. The rotations late were super weird, but good ball games. JV, actually, his last one, Valanciunas' last ball game, I was watching, and I thought, boy, he actually kind of looks like he cares a little bit more. And then he came back out and he followed it up with his best game of the year: 30-16, 3 assists, a steal, a block, 2 3-pointers. Ja Morant looked good in this one. Efficiency was better. Jay Crowder had 20. I don't know why they let him shoot as often as they do, but he's actually been a standard league guy. And then Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. were the guys that took a little bit of a step back in this one. JJJ at least stayed on the floor. But again, only one block. He's forgotten how to block shots. Dylan Brooks is very much a cut in standard leagues, but I'm good with owning each of those top five guys. I mentioned JV, Ja, Crowder, Clark, and JJJ on the Grizzlies side. The Clippers are sort of a non-story, right? Like, there's nothing to look at on that fantasy team. It's just the same 3 or 4 guys every night.
Yes, sir.
All right, what do you got on the Grizz?
On the Grizzlies, all I have is Jaren Jackson Jr. I agree with you. I think he was a little overhyped coming into the season based on Well, I don't really know because he hadn't really proved himself a whole lot yet. But the things that you drafted him for is you're wanting the blocks and you're probably wanting strong field goal percentage. But to see him take 9 threes, yeah, the threes are nice, but it's kind of like a twilight zone to me, really. Like, you wanted the field goal percentage and blocks, and he's getting you threes and no blocks. But I think he's kind of a buy low. I don't think he's going to be that third round type of value, but I think he's a buy low guy.
Yeah, I agree. He's a difficult guy to buy low on because I feel like the name is going to make him a hard dude to pry away from whoever owns him right now. Don't you think you'll have to almost spend more than you'd want to spend to get him?
Yeah, and those guys that coming into the season have all that hype and all that buzz, those owners, that's still in their mind a month into the season. Mm-hmm. So,
Is this the start of something for Jonas Valanciunas, or is this just the every once in a while he wakes up and he goes crazy? Honestly, I thought he looked better in their last ball game. He looks a little more spry the last two. But it's hard for me to say whether I think, you know, this type of increased usage is going to continue for him. It was just really cool to see him get going and eat. He finally ate a little bit.
Absolutely. I don't think he's going to be getting this many shots, but I was high on him. I thought he was a guy that was going under the radar. And if you missed out on some of those big centers early in drafts, I thought he was a very nice value play down in whatever round he was going, 5, 6, 7 in some drafts. So I grabbed him everywhere, and he's been a little lackluster so far. I hope he can get it going.
I'm thinking the rebounds get over 10, right? Don't we think the rebounds get up over 10 before the season's over?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely doable. And he only needs, like, what, 26, 28 minutes to do that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Maybe not even at most times. You know, 24, 25 a lot of times to get him there. He's just looked a step slow to me, and I have to wonder if that foot thing was lingering more than anybody was letting on, perhaps, you know, a couple.
And that definitely could be it, because he didn't seem to be himself to start the season. And I think a lot of us had higher expectations than how he has performed so far in the first month.
Well, luckily this game will rocket him into the stratosphere pretty quickly. Atlanta, Milwaukee. Is this the least interesting fantasy game of the night? Does this get the award? Or Utah, Indiana might win that award. It's one of these two.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I think you and I are in about the same camp as the Hawks. It's pretty much Trae Young and Jabari Parker.
Yep.
I would love for Damian Jones or Bruno Fernando to get good minutes. I think they could be some of the best fantasy guys on this team if they could get anywhere close to high 20s, early 30s in minutes, but it's not happening for them. Jabari Parker had a monster game, 33, 14, 5, 2, and 1, 3 threes, played 37 minutes. And I would say this run's probably coming toward an end, but with Atlanta just having nobody besides him and Trey, I think he'll definitely take a ding when Collins comes back, but I think he'll still be a standard league guy. I didn't pick him up anywhere when we heard that suspension on Collins because I was thinking, you know, points and boards, and what else? That's about it. So I didn't pick him up anywhere, but he's somehow averaging, I think, 1.5 steals on the season.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
I have no idea. Did you think that was a surprise?
A massive surprise. He's averaging 2 defensive stats a game. He's never been over 1.5 in his career.
Yeah, definitely surprising.
Very surprising. And yeah, I mean, he will take a giant hit, but, you know, he's a sell high. Because even if he does keep standard league value, it's going to be a lot less. You know, in the same token, like you said, he might actually be a guy you could hang on to the rest of the year and just, you know, take whatever lowered production he's got. After this ball game, though, this is a time where you got to throw him out there and see if you can get some top 75 guy for the season. This is a great opportunity for that.
Dan, what about this one? We talked about who you might throw. Would you throw Jabari Parker for Mitchell Robinson?
Oh, yeah. Give me Mitch Rob all day.
And I think you could pull that off in a good amount of leagues.
You could. Just throw it out there. Don't even say anything. Don't send a message with the trade offer either. Just, like, you don't need to convince anybody of anything. Maybe they'll see that 33, 14, and 5 with 6 cash counters and say, you know what? Screw it. Mitch Rob, you're 8-8 with a block. Just not cutting it. See you later. Meanwhile, the guy who I've been accused of hating had another horrible free throw shooting game, and that's Giannis, of course, but I don't know that we even really need to pause on him at all. He's forgotten how to shoot free throws this year. Not that he was ever good to begin with.
He's murdering you there, and this might be too early to say something like this, but next year, Dan, based on what we know now, who would you rather have, Giannis or Luka?
I think it's got to be Luka.
I think so too. Like, he doesn't hurt you as much in the percent, or he doesn't hurt you really at all in the percentages like he did last year. And they're both going to get monster turnovers, but 5 of 13 from the free throw line from Giannis, you can't win a category with that going on.
No, he's become the single most powerful punt guy in the NBA. If you remove free throw percent, he's the best player in the league in fantasy. He's the perfect candidate. But, you know, if you have him in a roto league, you're going to probably lose free throw percent. He's going to win you some stuff, but he's going to get you a one in that category. That's just, to me, in roto, that's just unacceptable. And I'd be trying to get out from under it. I mean, I know that there's probably some kind of little regression in the positive direction coming, but, you know, I actually got off of him in the one spot that I had him, and I don't feel bad about it. I hate having a guy that forces you into a punt format if you didn't build your team ready for it.
Absolutely. Who'd you reel in for him?
I think I ended up with Dame and someone else. I sort of traded down in the first round effectively, and I feel happy with the way that turned out. I'm satisfied. Yeah. Never looked back.
Dame doesn't hurt you anywhere.
Nope. Did it. Not looking back. I know that there's going to be these 50-point games for Giannis, but whatever. I don't care. Wolves beat the Spurs again. Second time they beat them in the last 3 weeks, I think. Andrew Wiggins had 26, his weird surge, although he missed a bunch of free throws also. Cat, strong game. Everybody's watching Jarrett Culver. He had 10 points, 5 assists, 2 three-pointers, a steal, and a block, but again, not making shots. I mean, I'm sitting on the fence with this one, Cap, because the percentages are brutal. But there is some upside there if he were to get that sorted out. So to me, he almost strikes me as the kind of guy you pick up and you throw on your bench until he figures it out. The question is, how long is that going to take? That could be February. So I don't know if we have the patience for that kind of thing, because right now his percentages are so bad that they're absolutely killing you. But, you know, heaven forbid he learns how to hit a free throw or gets his field goal percent even up over 40. He has a pretty versatile fantasy game.
Yeah, I grabbed him in one spot. Actually, I think it was our HoopBall staff league, just because they said he was going to start moving forward. I thought maybe it'd turn into something. But like you said, it hasn't been anything super exciting yet. Yeah, he's a rookie, so maybe he turns it around. But I was actually thinking Teague would do better off the bench, playing against team second units. Mm-hmm. And kind of quiet tonight with 7-6. But how does this move? So Culver, I would say as of now, he's probably more of a 14-16 teamer or a 12-team flyer if you got somebody cut. But how does this move impact Teague's value for you? Do you think he moves closer to the cut line? Is he in similar vein as, say, like an IT or Markel Fultz?
No, I still got Teague as a hold, a pretty strong one, too. He played 32 minutes in this game. The usage was oddly low. I like Teague for sort of whatever you drafted him for, which is, he was never going to score much. You're looking for like 11 points, 7 assists, something like that. And he really wasn't that far off of that. If he makes one more of his shots, or two, hell, he could go 4 for 8 from the field. Then he's at 11, 3-6 with a 3, a steal, and a block. And that's perfectly reasonable, you know, top 90 point guard stuff. Basically right where he was getting drafted. So, he's very much still a guy I'm hanging on to. What about you?
Yeah, I think so, too. And especially with assists, the rarity of them to this year and how much they dropped off. Like, you knew somewhere around the 90s, 100s, Teague was going to be sitting there, and assists were hard to find this year. So definitely. What is your take, I'm guessing, on Wiggins? Do you buy his transformation? Do you think this is real?
Yeah,
I
can't believe it. I can't believe it. It is real. I mean, the free throw number is starting to come back down to where he's been throughout his career, like right around 70. Yeah, I mean, this is real. They put those damn stickers on the floor, and it's totally changed his game. He's not taking long twos anymore. his field goal percent being higher. I don't know if that hangs out at 47. That may take a step back, but you know, he's taken like 7 3-pointers a game, and then he's taken like 10 shots closer to the rim now. He's eliminated the incredibly low percentage, low value shots from his game, and it's changed everything. You know, they've got him out from under his terrible tendencies. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how Ryan Saunders pulled it off, but they sort of broke him, you know? And looking at some of his numbers from years past, he's shooting the same percentage from downtown, you know? He's always been a 33, 34% three-point shooter. So it's not like Brandon Ingram where he went from like 25% to 50% overnight. These are sustainable percentages given the shot selection changes that he's made. He's changed his shot selection in a way that actually translates to fantasy value. And so, you know, the only thing that I look at as an area that maybe could taper off a little bit would be the overall field goal percent. But again, with the fact that he's getting either closer or farther, the true shooting, the effective value of his shots is better in a way that keeps him on the floor and makes him more valuable. And he's just going to, he's going to hang on. I mean, he's number 47 right now. I'd say he probably finishes in the 60s, but that's about 60 slots higher than any of us thought he was going to finish. I got to give the golf clap to Andrew Wiggins. I think he's done it.
I do too, sir. And I think you and I are in a similar mind on this one, that we probably don't own him in any place. But if you did, what would you be doing? Would you be riding it out, or would you be trying to sell high?
Ride it, baby. I got him in 1 points league, and I'm riding it.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Spurs side. We're always trying to figure out what the hell they're doing. Derek White, DeJounte Murray split the point guard minutes right down the middle again. Jakob Poeltl, late round plodding center friend of mine, had 5 blocks in this game. He's a guy you could sort of stick in there if you need some blocks, some field goal percent, some rebounds. He has no upside really, but there are leagues where I could use a guy like that. But effectively, this team is DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge right now. There's no other fantasy team on this, or no other fantasy value on the Spurs until they fix their guard situation. And I don't know what has to pop for that to happen, but they're horrible this year. The whole thing is coming apart for this team.
Yeah, it's a little brutal over here. And even DeRozan and Aldridge, I heard Coach say one day that he doesn't want anything to do with the Spurs because if they play their way out of the playoffs, which seems crazy to even think about, I mean, he's the originator of load management, so it could hurt you there. And I was in the same mind as you on Murray and White coming into the year. I wanted nothing to do with either one, and there seemed to be really strong camps for both sides, and I just kind of met in the middle, and I was like, well, you guys can fight over it. I'll take somebody who's going to get me 30 minutes a game in that range of the draft. But the one guy who kind of just plods along here is Rudy Gay. He's not exciting, but 10-11 with 4 assists. So he seems to be surviving here. And one other guy that I've kind of picked up in a few places for streaming is Bryn Forbes in the threes department. But yeah, he was a little quiet tonight with only 1.
Yeah, but he is a streamer. You're right. I mean, he's the streaming type. I kind of put Rudy Gay in my streaming category as well. I like his percentages. But as a guy who loves percentages, you think that I would gravitate towards Rudy Gay, but really those are sort of the only good things he has going most ball games. There's just, he needs to do a little bit more night to night. Like if you could figure out the games where he's actually going to go out there and do some stuff, then you win. Because, you know, every once in a while I'll have an 18-5-3, or like this one, he had 10-11 with 4 assists. But in between there, you know, 5-1, you know, 7-4. And that sort of comes with the territory when you're not a high usage guy and you're not playing a ton of minutes most games. So he's actually on the out. He's on the outside. I think he's ranked like 130 right now. So he's more of a 14 teamer or like a 12 teamer with a 6-person bench with unlimited, right? Like a head to head league like that. But you really do. Your league needs to go pretty close to 200, I think, rostered players for Rudy Gay to be a guy that you're strongly considering using one of those roster spots on. I think this is going to be the last one you and I do together, if I'm not mistaken. That's Washington and Phoenix. And that was a fantasy gold mine, 140 to 132. That's a fun one, man. The Wizards can score. Damn.
Yeah, they certainly can. Their main guys here, you know, Bradley Beal, who went for 35-6 with 4 threes, and Tom Bryant had 23-9 and 5 assists and 2 threes. Yeah, they've had some monster games against a few teams this year, Phoenix tonight, Houston. It seems like every time I turn around, they're putting up monster numbers here.
I love it, man. I love it. This is the right way to be a losing team. Go have fun. Don't be the Knicks. Be the Wizards. Go have fun when you're losing. And then they won this one. You know, they're going to sort of stumble nose first into a victory every once in a while if you're out there and you're enjoying yourself. Kudos, Washington. You've made a bad season fun.
Yes, sir.
I'm putting IT on my bench. I'm not dropping him because his usage actually was a little bit better in this one. He had some foul issues, and Ish Smith played really well. But on a team that scores like this, I can't bring myself to make the full drop. So I'm kind of, it's almost like a healthy stash for me at this point.
I've got IT in about half my leagues, and I was so stoked to either pick him with my last round pick or pick him up off the wire. And I was not expecting Boston Celtics IT by any means, but I thought he had good amount of upside. And he was talking in the summer that he wanted to prove himself, prove that he still belonged. So I had high hopes for him, but I feel like my love for him all of a sudden in the last week went from like, yeah, I'm so happy to have this guy too. Wait a minute. Is he approaching the cut line?
Yeah, he's not far. You know, playing with the starters has been a little bit of a pisser for him. He hasn't had the opportunity that he was getting when he was running the second unit. And I think because they want to keep him healthy and they like him on the floor for more minutes, he's probably not going back to the bench, even though that's what we would all kind of want. So we're probably stuck here, and we're probably just looking at it and hoping that he finds a little bit more of a niche with this starting unit, a few more shots. You know, if he could go from 12 shots in 25 minutes to 13, or if he could get to the free throw line twice a game at this point, that would make a massive difference for him. But just points and assists with a three ball every once in a while, we're like one fantasy category short of being good enough to start again. And I feel like the one that it needs to be is free throws. That's what we need. And, you know, maybe there's still a little bounce that he needs to get back in his step. How about per 36 monster Mo Wagner? 11-4, 3, 2 steals and a 3 ball in only 18 minutes. Is he officially a guy you have to start in standard leagues? I mean, I feel like the answer is yes.
I think so, too. And the minutes are always limited. He seems to be in that same boat as the Christian Woods and the Bobby Bouchers. But I keep thinking in the 15, 20 minutes, well, he's bound to have a dud. He's bound to have multiple duds. And he just keeps finding a way to produce. Mm-hmm. So imagine if this guy, like you said, got anywhere close to 30 minutes anywhere in there. I don't know. Is it inconceivable to see him jump into the lineup over somebody like Troy Brown? I know not really the same position, but then they have Rui Hachimura starting, and obviously he's an all-star candidate right there. So I don't know, Dan. How do you think what do you think it takes to see Bogner get some more minutes here?
I honestly don't know, because they love Thomas Bryant. Hachimura's their rookie, so they have to play him. Davis Bertans was a guy they acquired, so they're going to play him, and they love his floor spacing ability. Sadly, there aren't a ton of minutes to go around. You know, it's not like there's a big man where they can just pull the minutes for him. He's pretty much exclusively playing center at this point. Yahoo actually had him listed as a power forward until 2 days ago in kind of an odd twist in all of this. I don't think he's playing power forward. I don't see how that. I'd love it if those minutes somehow emerged for him, but unless they come from Thomas Bryant, I don't see how he gets up to 22 or 23 minutes a game. So we're sort of stuck in this incredibly impressive per 36 situation where he has to go nuts in 18 minutes every game. It's such a small margin for error, though, you know? That's what's so hard about these low-minute guys.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I mean, I think you got to start him as long as he's hot, though.
I think so, too. Do you have any interest in Jordy McRae? He was one of the top pickups here, I feel like, in the last couple days, at least.
Nope. I don't. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. His fantasy game is limited. His attempts are limited. His number of minutes is limited. I mean, he's relevant right now because he's shooting like 53% over the last week. But his opportunity just isn't. It's just not enough, you know? The three balls are nice. You know, he'll fall into a steal every once in a while. I don't see how his minutes go up considerably unless there's an injury to, I don't know, Troy Brown. You know, he only played 14 minutes as a starter anyway. Someone would have to get hurt to clear out this logjam, and I don't even know if it goes to Jordan McRae at that point anyway.
I agree. One thing I like to do to just see if I'm staying in with the trends is go to the Yahoo Research Transaction Trends page and sort by number of ads. And he'd been toward the top for a lot of days, and I didn't understand why. And I was like, am I missing something here? So glad to hear we're of similar mind on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Phoenix side. This was a weird one because Kelly Oubre got into early foul trouble and then they just sort of sat him the rest of the game. Ricky Rubio came back from his back injury and looked pretty good, actually. But Cheick Diallo had a double-double in this ball game. Dario Saric had a double-double in this ball game. It feels to me, like maybe I'm getting a little bit crazy here, but it feels to me like the Suns desperately need Aaron Baines back. That's like a one-to-one correlation. He and Rubio went down, and then they just started losing every ball game.
Yeah, I agree. And the fact that Dario Saric is out there getting 17 and 12, and his last game was monstrous, and I completely wrote that off. But, man, maybe it depends on how long Aaron Baines is out. I do not like Saric's game at all, but if he's going to keep missing time, maybe if you have somebody cut, take a flyer on him. But he's not going to be getting 37 minutes every night and going for these monster double-doubles. So I'm not excited about that at all. You'll probably see him get picked up in a lot of leagues after these two games. It was nice to see Rubio back with 18 and 4, and that seemed to help Booker go for 27 with 8 assists, 3 turnovers, but 50% from the floor and 100% from the line, so that was nice.
Ricky Rubio's turned Devin Booker into a very efficient basketball player, so if you have Booker, you should be thrilled that Rubio's back. If you're looking at the big men, they're down. They're number one and number two centers right now. No DeAndre Ayton, no Aaron Baines. So, of course, you know, Dario's going to have to slide over, play more big man minutes. If you told me he was going to play 25 center minutes every game, I'd be stoked about Saric. I don't like him as much at the power forward spot. Pushes him away from the bucket. You don't get any defensive stats. You don't get any rebounds out there. As long as the other big men are basically cooked right now, he feels like a pretty reasonable streaming option. Just be ready to move on when Baines and or Ayton come back. Feels like. What about Cameron Johnson? Are you buying into any of that? I'm not either.
Somebody last week asked me if they should go with Cam Johnson or Tyler Johnson for a five game streamer, and I felt like I was splitting hairs, but I leaned towards Cam Johnson. But yeah, no, for long-term value or for anything more than streaming, I'm not interested there.
And this, by the way, is where we part ways, because the other games are still going as we finish recording this segment. So here's what's going to happen. Fantasy NBA Today is going to get finished up tomorrow morning. Obviously, we'll finish the box scores and then preview. There's no games on Thanksgiving Day, but we'll sort of take a little bit of a look ahead and kind of a weekend review type of deal. Cap is going to take care of the rest of the box score breakdown. That'll be available for you on Wednesday night. Kurt, it's been a distinct pleasure. We should do this more often.
We definitely should. It's been a great time, Dan.
Two shows for the price of one. What could be better?
Not much. We're offering as much as we can on this Thanksgiving holiday, you know, trying to be generous.
All right, you turn left, I'll turn right.
All right, sir.
Well, that was fun, huh? Nice to have the great Dan Bespris join us on the Box Score Breakdown on this pre-Thanksgiving episode. Let's move on. For these last few games, it's just going to be me, Cap, carrying on with you guys. So let's jump in on the Orlando-Cleveland side. Orlando won this one 116-104. Jonathan Isaac, who has been an absolute monster this year, he had a good line with 16-7, 1-3 steals, 1 block, 1 three-pointer. Wasn't fantastic from the field at 7 of 18, but who really cares when he's chipping in all these cash counters? We still didn't have Aaron Gordon. We still didn't have Nikola Vucevic, so there's going to be more pressure on him on the defensive end, so you might see a little bit of dip in efficiency from him. Wes Iwundu got a start, didn't do anything of note. Markel Fultz, 15-3-4, no steals, no blocks, but 1-3, 7 of 12 from the field, and 1 3-pointer. This guy, I was hesitant to pick him up anywhere. I was a little worried about DJ Augustine, who saw 30 minutes tonight, but I think it's time, guys. If you want to be on the Fultz train for when it gets fully loaded in the second half of the season, which I think is a real possibility, you probably have to jump in now, and it might even be too late. But if he's still out there in your league, I think he's somebody that you got to pick up, especially if you got somebody who's trash on the end of your bench. Evan Fournier went big tonight with 30 points, 4 threes. He's going to be solid while the bigs are out because they're going to rely on him heavily for the scoring. He had 22 shots from the field tonight. What you really want to know about is the position battle between Kem Birch and Mo Bamba. Kem Birch started tonight and went for 8-5 with 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, and 4 fouls. Mo Bamba, who's been on a minutes limit this season, had 15 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and 5 three-pointers. He only took 6 shots from the field, and 5 of those were three-pointers, and he made all 5. At this point, even though he's coming off the bench, he already had the edge in my mind coming off the bench because of his potential for blocks, but he can also hit threes, and Kem Birch just is not doing a whole lot with the starting role. Now, Aaron Gordon seems to be on track to coming back soon, and Vucevic, who we initially thought would be out for, I think it was 3 to 4 weeks, now he's being reevaluated within the week. He could be back a lot sooner than we thought. So both of these guys are not must-own by any means in standard leagues. In 14-teamers, I think you got to pick up Bamba and ride him until Vooch comes back. And even when Vooch is back, if you really need blocks, he was getting something like 1.4 blocks on the season last time I checked in only 15 minutes. And this is the first time we're seeing him really get beyond that 15-16-minute threshold. So if that minute limit is rising at all and he's able to eclipse the 20-minute mark, he can get you 2 blocks a game. This is definitely a block streamer type guy. Kem Birch, even for short-term value, I'm not really interested here. DJ Augustine, he actually had more minutes than Fultz off the bench. He played 30. He had 8 points and 10 assists. Also had 3 steals, but he's not necessarily a 12-team guy, more of a 14-16-teamer. I would rather have Fultz with a starting gig, and as the season progresses, they're probably going to rely a little bit more on Fultz. Augustine's not going to disappear because they seem to be fans of him, but Fultz, I believe, is the guy you want to own here, definitely. On the Cavs side, Kevin Love had a very quiet night with 9-5. He had 1 assist and 2 threes, only played 24 minutes. Jetty Osman, 14-3, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 threes. He is more of a 14-16-teamer. Tristan Thompson, 13-15. No blocks, but he did have a steal and 2 assists. Colin Sexton, the guy who normally doesn't do anything besides score. He had 20 points, but he also chipped in 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 triple. Of course, that would be the night when I put him on my bench on this loaded Thanksgiving Eve night. I thought he was the guy to sit, and he had one of his better rebounding and assisting games of the year. Darius Garland, this guy for me is in a similar boat as Markel Fultz. He had 16 points, only one rebound, only one assist, no defensive stats, 8 turnovers, and 2 threes, but he did play 31 minutes. He also only got 8 shots. So between him and Fultz, I think Fultz has the lead right now. But I think later on in the season, the second half of the season, I think Garland has more of a runway to take off, whereas DJ Augustine isn't going to completely disappear. If Garland really gets rolling, it's his job to be a starting point guard on this team, and I'm not worried about somebody like Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench. Speaking of Clarkson, he played 16 minutes tonight with a negligible line. Same for Matthew Dellavedova and Kevin Porter. Larry Nance, he's somebody that you guys probably want to know about. He had 11 and 10 with 1 assist and 2 steals, also 2 triples. Decent guy to own here. Probably somebody that you need to have on your roster in a 12-team league, but I'd understand if he was cut earlier in the season because of how he was performing. Let's move to the Lakers and the Pelicans side. This one we definitely thought had potential for Anthony Davis to go big, visiting New Orleans. It's going to be a little bit emotional. He played 37 minutes. He had 41 points. I'm pretty sure that's a season high. 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, 1 block, 1 3, 15 of 30 from the field, nice 50%, 10 of 12 from the free throw line. So solid, solid line from Anthony Davis. Obviously, he's going to have something to prove coming back to New Orleans. LeBron James, 29 points, 11 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 2 threes. He's having a great season. JaVale McGee started, didn't do much. Danny Green, he's ownable in standard leagues, but I would not blame you in the least if you wanted to cut him tonight. 4 points, 1 steal, 1 block, no threes. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's been waking up and having a nice run, but tonight only 5 points and 1 3. Off the bench, Kyle Kuzma, 16 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, 4 triples. To me, I can see the upside in that he's kind of an exciting player, but he's really more of a points and threes kind of guy when you get down to what's really happening here for him today. And he's been kind of lackluster the last few games. He's not a must-own in 12-team leagues, 14-teamers. He's probably somebody that should be owned. Dwight Howard had 9-7 with a block. Alex Caruso played 25 minutes, but nothing of note. On the Pelicans side, Brandon Ingram shot a terrible 4 of 21 from the field, 2 of 11 from three-point land, but a 13 of 13 from the stripe to finish with 23 points, 10 boards, 1 assist, 2 blocks. Jackson Hayes had 7 and 4 in 21 minutes. J.J. Redick had 5 triples and 18 points. Drew Holiday, he had 29 points, 6 boards, 12 assists, 3 steals, no blocks, 7 turnovers, 4 triples. If you bought low on him, congratulations, it's paying off. Kenrick Williams had 11 and 7 with an assist, a steal, and 3 threes. He's been a nice guy to own in the last couple weeks, but as his team continues to get healthy, I think we're going to see him faded for sure. Jahlil Okafor off the bench had 6 and 2, maybe a 16-18 teamer type guy. Josh Hart was playing tonight, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 threes. When he was healthy, he was putting up some monster lines. That's probably higher than what you're going to expect from him going forward. But it's still, in my mind, yet to be determined whether he's a 12 to 14 team type of guy. They were also missing Lonzo Ball tonight due to stomach virus, Derek Favors, and Nickeil Alexander-Walker did not play because of coach's decision. Actually, I'm seeing that for Favors as well. You guys probably know already at this point what had happened, but all I'm seeing is DNP CD for Favors, so I didn't hear of an injury or an illness, so if it truly was just coach's decision that he didn't play, that's very interesting. Alrighty, let's go over to OKC in Portland. Danilo Gallinari, 14 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 3 threes. Okay, Gallo line. Steven Adams went for 8-6. He's had a rough season so far. Chris Paul, 16-5. Not his best game. No steals, no threes. He'll be fine. Terrence Ferguson started, but didn't do a whole lot. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 11-2-5. Nothing else. And off the bench, Dennis Schroeder had 10 points, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, also 1 3. He's one of the HoopBall 6, so obvious reason to pay attention to him. But he's fading, and if there's a super hot free agent out on the wire, I wouldn't blame you for moving on. On the Portland side, we have Hassan Whiteside playing again. He went big for 21 points and 16 boards. No blocks, but he was 5-for-5 from the free throw line. Removed of Miami, removed of Eric Spoelstra and his wacky rotations, Hassan Whiteside has been thriving in Portland. Sometimes he looks a little unmotivated, doesn't know what he's doing out there, but he did this in only 22 minutes. If you give me a guy who's going to give me 21 and 16 in only 22 minutes, I'll take that any day of the night, any day of the week. Carmelo Anthony, this guy, obviously he's about to be 35. He's trying to make a comeback in the NBA. You saw him picked up everywhere a couple weeks ago when it was announced that he's going to play for Portland. I was not one of those people who picked him up, but after tonight, 19 points, 4 boards, 2 assists. He took 11 shots, and the other night he took something like 20 shots. So at this point, even though I'm not a fan of his game, I'm a little worried about his age, with how he's done in the last 4 games, yeah, I'll call him a must-own in 12-team leagues. I wouldn't cut anything of value, but if you have somebody at the end of your bench who you're just itching to cut, I definitely can understand picking him up. Odds are, at this point, he's probably owned in most leagues. Damian Lillard bounced back in the scoring department tonight. He had 27 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, 5 threes, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. Good to see Dame back up and running. CJ McCollum, 22, 2-4, 4 threes, fine for him. Rodney Hood, 14 points, but he's going to be up and down. He only took 6 shots tonight and made 5 of them. That's not going to happen every night, especially when 4 of his shots were threes. He's not going to make 4-4 from three-point land every night. So he's not a standard league guy, more of a 16-teamer. Off the bench, Anfernee Simons. You know what to see with what we're seeing with him is mainly scoring, and that's about it. That's what he did tonight, 14 points. Kent Bazemore, 3 points, 10 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. He gets you some of those peripheral stats, but also not a must-own in standard leagues. Last game of the night, Chicago at Golden State. Golden State actually pulled off a victory here, 104-90. So the Bulls are definitely spiraling when you're losing to Golden State, who's got a bunch of G League-type guys as starters right now. The Bulls, Zach LaVine, 36 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 4 threes. Great night for LaVine. Satoransky had a solid night with 19, 7-7, 2 steals, 3 threes. If he's on your wire, he needs to be picked up. He's the point guard to be owned here in Chicago. I'd much rather have him over Chris Dunn, who played 19 minutes, or Kobe White, who played 26 and scored 2 points. Wendell Carter Jr., 8-9 with 2 steals. Not bad. He's having a good year. The guy on here that you guys are probably most interested in is Lauri Markkanen. His terrible season continues. 8-4-3 with 1 steal, 1 3. You can buy low on him, but I would not sell the farm. He can't be this bad all season, but he's definitely not going to be the third or fourth round type value guy that you probably paid for on draft day. Off the bench, like I said, there's not a whole lot to see here. The guy that got the most minutes was Kobe White, and he didn't do anything with them. He's scoring in threes and not much else. On the Warriors side, we had Draymond Green playing tonight. He only played 24 minutes, but went for 7-5-8 with 3 steals, 2 blocks, 1-3, only took 3 shots from the field. When he puts up a couple of solid games, like near his triple-double type standard, I would sell him because the Warriors' future is in disarray. Their team is terrible. He's got nothing to play for. And Draymond is not the best guy to own when he is not motivated, which is going to be the case for a lot of the season this year. Eric Pascal, he gets mixed reviews, but 36 minutes tonight led the team. He got 25-7-3. No defensive stats, but that's kind of the trend with him. He did have two threes, which was nice, and he was 5-6 from the free throw line. Really what you're looking for from Pascal is high scoring, decent rebounds, and very solid free throw percentage. Other than that, he'll sprinkle in the steals, blocks, and threes here and there. I think he's a must-own guy. And 12-teamers, and possibly even 10-teamers. Glenn Robinson III, he went for 11, 1, and 3 with 2 steals, 1 block, 2 threes. He doesn't look super exciting, but on the season, he's number 89 on a 9 cat per game average, which absolutely makes him worth owning. He's one of the better guys to own on this team when you consider his across-the-board production. The other guy who I like for across-the-board production is Kai Bowman, but tonight he came off the bench. Still played 28 minutes, but only had 5 points, 3 boards, 3 assists. So he's going to be a little up and down. I like his fantasy game more than anyone on this team who's probably available in most leagues. But again, going to be a little up and down. And we didn't even have D'Angelo Russell playing today. So Alec Burks started, and he had probably, gosh, this is probably his best game of his career. 23 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 triples. 66% from the free throw line, 9 of 19 from the field, and only 2 turnovers. That's not going to happen every night. He's usually points. He'll get you a couple of triples and sprinkle in some other stats. But if his shot's not there, he's not really, if his shot's not there, he kind of disappears from the box score. So I understand if you own him, makes sense, but I'm not super high on his game. He did lead the team today in shots taken at 19. So there's that for him. Off the bench, also Jordan Poole is not a guy worth owning in almost any league deeper than, unless you're in a 16-team league or deeper, you could look at him. Marquese Chris, his stat set is very fun. 11 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 steals, 2 blocks, 1 3, only played 20 minutes. So the minutes are key here. With that amount of minutes, this is not a sustainable amount of production, but we like what he can do across the board. Other than that, guys, that's really all I have for you. Thanks for joining us on this pre-Thanksgiving feast. November the 27th, 14-game slate. One of the biggest slates of games you'll see in the NBA. Thanks for Dan Bespris joining us today. He's at Dan Bespris. If you can spell it, you can find him. D-A-N-B-E-S-B-R-I-S. I'm at Captain Canegas. C-A-P-T-C-A-I-N-E-G-H-I-S. If you can spell that right on the first time, congratulations. If not, look in the description. It's probably there. I hope you all have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll be back with you as the season continues. And enjoy your turkey day. This has been a Hoopball and Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee presentation.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.